Exodus chapter 8, verse 20, all the way to chapter 9, verse 12. This is the reading of God's word. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you do not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and on your servants and on your people and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians will be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they dwell. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people are living, so that no swarms of flies will be there, in order that you may know that I, the Lord, am in the midst of the land. I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign will occur.' Then the Lord did so, and there came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and the houses of his servants, and the land was laid waste because of the swarms of flies in all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, 'Go, sacrifice to your God within the land.' But Moses said, 'It is not right to do so, for we will sacrifice to the Lord our God what is an abomination to the Egyptians. If we sacrifice what is an abomination to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not then stone us? We must go a 3 days journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he commands us.' Pharaoh said, 'I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Make supplication for me.' Then Moses said, 'Behold, I am going out from you, and I shall make supplication to the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people tomorrow. Only do not let Pharaoh deal deceitfully again in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord.' So Moses went out from Pharaoh and made supplication to the Lord. And the Lord did as Moses asked and removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, and he did not let the people go. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh and speak to him. Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will come with a very severe pestilence on your livestock, which are in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the herds, and on the flocks. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing will die of all that belongs to the sons of Israel. The Lord set a definite time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died, but of the livestock of the sons of Israel, not one died. Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not even one of the livestock of Israel dead. But the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handful of soot from a kiln, and let Moses throw it toward the sky in the sight of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over all the land of Egypt, and it will become boils, breaking out with sores on man and beast through all the land of Egypt. So they took soot from a kiln and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses threw it toward the sky and became boils breaking out with sores on man and beast. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians as well as on all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, And he did not listen to them, just as the Lord has spoken to Moses. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. Without your working in us through your Spirit, we will hear, but we will not hear. We will see, but we will not see. Oh, Father, we pray that you will bless, you will pour out your grace. That we will hear your voice through your word, and through your word, we will see Jesus Christ. And we will see what he has done and accomplished for us. And we will see who we are truly in Christ. As we hear your word, let our faith grow. Let us grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, let us be more and more like your Son. And let us live for your glory. Bless us and receive all the glory. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We begin chapter 8, verse 20. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me.'" Here again, God tells Moses to go to the Pharaoh early in the morning. We have said that 10 plagues can be divided into three groups of three. And the last one stands alone. And the first plague of each group of three, namely the plagues 1, 4, and 7, all have God telling Moses to go to the Pharaoh early in the morning. So if you read the next, see we read until 9:12, but if we read 9:13, which begins seventh plague, and there again you will hear God telling Moses, go to Pharaoh early in the morning. Today we will look at the second group, the plagues 4, 5, 6. And I'm trying to be very gracious to you. I could take each plague for one Sunday. That means God's judgment story for 10 weeks. I thought that would be too much. So here we go. 4, 5, and 6 today. Pharaoh continues to harden his heart and he does not listen to God. He will not let his people go so they may worship their God, our God. But as we have seen already, even Pharaoh refusing to listen to God, it's all exactly according to God's plan. Through this, God wanted to multiply his signs and wonders in the land of Egypt to bring glory and honor, more glory and more honor to himself. Let us begin the fourth plague, plague of insects or flies. Verse 21, "For if you do not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you, and on your servants, and on your people, and into your houses, and houses of the Egyptian will be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they dwell. Just like the frogs and gnats before, the flies are everywhere." I mean, can you just picture that? Flies everywhere. It is truly a horrifying, awful condition. In verse 24, we read, "Then the Lord did so, and there came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and the house of his servants, and the land was laid waste because of the swarms of flies in all the land of Egypt. The land was laid waste. Or NIV says the land was ruined. The word also has a meaning of destruction. Thus, some translation have it, the land was destroyed. Truly, what we see is the judgment by the finger of God. However, we read about an interesting thing in verses 22 and 23. But on that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people are living, so that no swarms of insects will be there, in order that you may know that I, the Lord, am in the midst of the land. I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow, this sign will occur. God puts a division between the Israelites and the Egyptians. And this is the conclusion of today's sermon, so we shall return to it at the end. This God putting a division. Actually, it is a conclusion to our sermon today, and I'm going to have an extra sermon on this next Lord's Day, because this topic is very, very important. Now, from verse 25, we see Pharaoh cowardly saying things that he does not mean. Verse 25, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Go, sacrifice to your God within the land. Serve your God in Egypt. Worship your God in Egypt." But the whole Exodus is about getting out of the land of Egypt so that we may worship our God. And we see the same principle today. We cannot worship God in this world. That's why you need faith. Even as we worship God right now, where are we? We're in heaven. And only faith will enable you to see that. You cannot worship God in this world. You got to go to heaven. And forever worship of heaven is exactly that, in heaven, not here. So even as you worship today, realize you have come out of this world. You left. That's what you need to believe. And understand, you left this place, this world. But if all you see is this world, then none of this makes sense. Because people are so focused on this world, that's all they're going to see. Pharaoh, serve your God in Egypt. No. Moses says in verse 26 and 27, but Moses said, "It is not right to do so, for we will sacrifice to the Lord our God what is an abomination to the Egyptians. If we sacrifice what is an abomination to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not then stone us? We must go a three-day journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as He commands us." Moses flat out says no to Pharaoh's offer. So Pharaoh says in verse 28, "I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away." Make supplication for us. Now he says, okay, you go out, but not that far away. And, you know, some Christians live just like this. You know, they say, oh yeah, I'm safe from sin, safe from this world, but not that far away. I want to still linger around in the world and sin, you know. not that far away. Okay, just go out. One foot out and one foot still in. This is what Pharaoh said. And this is how so many Christians live their lives. Moses says, no, that is not possible. But as we could see, Pharaoh has no intention of letting God's people go. And we see here how agonizing the judgment of God is. Look at what Pharaoh is doing. How agonizing the judgment must be that he would say, okay, go, but not too far. Even for Pharaoh, it is so agonizing to endure. And this is only typological judgment. Just picture what true judgment will be. Again, just as in the plague of frogs, Moses prays to God the next day, and the plague of flies ends. Just like that. Moses says to Pharaoh in verse 29, then Moses said, behold, I am going out from you, and I shall make supplication to the Lord that the swarms of insects may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. Only do not let Pharaoh deal deceitfully again in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses does exactly what he told Pharaoh the next day. And the plague ends, but verse 32, but Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also and did not let the people go. I will probably say this more than once during this covering the judgments, but in Revelation, it is very, very clearly stated that God brings out judgment over this world so that these people, sinners, will see that judgment and repent of their sins. But there will be people who will not getting the grace from God. They, instead of repenting, they will get worse. All the judgments that we see even today, the flood, the earthquake, and you know, that's a common judgment. And from them, when Christians see that, it drives them to repent of their sins because it's because of their sins these judgments are coming. But worldly people will curse at God. Same thing happens, two different responses. And here Pharaoh, he never repents. Continues to harden his heart. Thus, the fifth judgment comes, the plague of pestilence on the Egyptian livestock. Chapter 9, verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and speak to him. Thus says the Lord, the God of Hebrew, let my people go that they may serve me. If Pharaoh refused, then, verse 3, behold, the hand of the Lord will come with a very severe pestilence on your livestock, which are in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the herds, and on the flocks. And verse 5, the Lord set a definite time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. And it happens just as God has said. Livestock. What are the livestock in the Bible, in the Old Testament? Well, in the old days, but especially in our, you know, God's revelation, livestock It's the sign of wealth. It's the symbol of wealth. You know, these days, you don't own livestock. You own money, you own big houses, you own big cars or whatever, you know. That shows how wealthy you are. Just like in the Old Testament, you know, how to show that I'm rich? Well, livestock. In the Old Testament, you say how much livestock one has to describe his wealth. God's judgment is coming upon that. Understand? All the livestock die. The Egyptians lose all their wealth. And this will be true when Jesus returns with his judgment upon this sinful world. Everything that you own will be destroyed, burned. You know, some people, they work so hard all their lives to buy certain things. And if Jesus comes today, all that you work for will be burned, completely destroyed. What a waste of life. What a waste of life that is. And this is what is happening. Judgment coming upon the wealth of people. Wealth of this world. But again, we see in verse 4, just as in the previous plague, God sets a distinction between the Israelites and the Egyptians. Verse 4, but the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing will die of all that belongs to the sons of Israel. Don't take from this, oh, so when Jesus returns, our wealth, Christians' wealth, will not be destroyed. No. That is not what he's saying. And verse 6 and 7, so the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died, but of the livestock of the sons of Israel, not one died. Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not even one of the livestock of Israel dead, but the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Thus follows the sixth plague, boils. Verses 8 and 9, then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves a handful of soot from Kilin, and let Moses throw it toward the sky in the sight of Pharaoh. It will become dust, fine dust over all the land of Egypt, and will become boils, breaking out with sores on man and beast through all the land of Egypt. Oh, just picture that. And that is exactly what happens. Boils. You know, boils remind us the very famous story for us. Job. Job had this, boils and itching. Itching was so severe that he used a piece of pottery to scratch himself. It was just so itching. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting from verse 15, God describes his judgment that will come if they do not obey him. And there in verse 27, we read, the Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt, and with tumors, and with the scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. And in verse 60 and 61, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they will cling to you. Also every sickness and every plague, which, not written in the book of this law, the Lord will bring on you until you are destroyed. A picture of the eternal judgment. But isn't that interesting? This judgment is spoken of speaking to God's covenant people. God's judgment for the covenant breakers. Remember, these judgments are the typological judgments. The true judgments, the eternal judgment of God, are beyond all of these. And these being typological means that today, even if someone has boils, that does not mean that he is cursed or receiving God's judgment. Do not take it like that. See, this is what happens when people ignorant of what Bible is saying. They just read one passage and just apply however they want to. Oh, so God's judgment, boils. Oh, you have boils? Man, God is judging you. No! You don't read the Bible like that. You have to read the Old Testament through Christ. Otherwise, it will not make any sense to you. And if you need help how to read the Old Testament and understand clearly, well, I'm the man to see. Call me, we'll make an appointment or appointments, and we'll study. Please, use me. You know, use me. I'm here for that kind of stuff. Yes. Now, boils is a form of leprosy. And Leviticus chapter 13 talks about the leprosy in there in verse 18 through 20, we read, when the body has a boil on its skin and is healed, and in the place of the boil were a white swelling or reddish white bright spot, then it shall be shown to the priest. And the priest shall look, and behold, if it appears to be lower than the skin, and the hair on it has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the infection of leprosy. It has broken out in the boils. The person with this boil is unclean in the Old Testament. It's a typological, again, you know, do not say you're unclean if you see someone with a boil today. Revelation 16, we see a picture of God's judgment. And there in verses 10 and 11, then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. And his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. Just like Pharaoh, they did not repent of their sins, it says. And in Exodus 9:11, we read, the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians as well as on all the Egyptians. And that's a comical picture. And these magicians, they are good for nothing. I mean, man, pathetic life. What is that life? Deceiving people. But again, in verse 12, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not listen to them, just as the Lord has spoken to Moses. Now, as we have seen, even as the judgment of God are being poured out upon the land of Egypt, God puts a division, a distinction between the Israelites and the Egyptians. And this division, this distinction, does not only apply to the people, but the land where they live. The Israelites and the land in which they dwell, Goshen, are distinguished from the Egyptian and the land in which they dwell. Chapter 9, verse 4, but the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing will die of all that belongs to the sons of Israel. Chapter 8, verse 23, I will put a division between my people and your people. Two kinds of people. You know, the world divides people in so many things. Divides people in terms of so many things. But Bible divides people in terms of only one thing. And that division is Jesus Christ. Either you are in Christ or you are not. That's the only distinction. Only division the Bible recognizes. You know, people, the world divides us according to education. You know, you graduate from college and you didn't even go to college. Or how much money they make, you know, classes, you know. Rich people, poor people. Nowadays, 1% and 99%. Or they divide according to ethnicity. You know, we're Korean, Vietnamese, American, all this. Or sex. We're man or woman. And nowadays, I guess you gotta say more than two. But Bible divides people only in terms of Christ. Two kinds of people. God says, my people and your people. Pharaoh's, but ultimately Satan's. And this was always the case. It is true even today. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we see this division. God says to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. God said, I will put enmity between these two groups. Do not be fooled, Christians. There's enmity between you and non-Christians. Does that mean that you have to hate them? No. Why? Why you cannot hate them? Well, just the fact that that non-Christian today, he or she might become Christian tomorrow. You don't know whether that person is truly your brother or sister. You don't know. So you have to love everybody. And that is God's will. We have to love. But believe me, there is enmity between Christians and non-Christians. Oh, just start talking about religion. You will see. Oh, you know, they're just very happy-going conversation going between the two. As soon as Jesus or religion, oh, man, no more friendly. Oh, and you even mention how they live is sin. Oh, you mention how they live, what they do, say, think is sin, and they deserve hell. Oh, now we're just, what friendship? See, we pretend that there is no enmity. But don't be fooled. There is. God says, I will put enmity. And he did. Again, it's not, I'm not saying go out and hate all non-Christians. No. We are to love them. Preach the gospel to them. Share the love that you have received from God. But the fact still remains, there is enmity. because God says so. The two groups will be enemies to one another. So it's funny because when we read Book of Acts and the Gospels, you know, there were many groups, but two famous groups, Pharisees, you guys know all that, Pharisees and Sadducees. These are both leaders of Jewish community. Oh, but they hated one another. One believed in resurrection of the dead. The other did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. Pharisees and Sadducees, hating one another. But when it came to killing Jesus, man, they were just together. Buddies. Brothers. This is how the world will be. When it comes to destroying Christianity, every group will be one. You will see it every single time. To the world, Christianity, and we're talking true Christianity, not these fake ones. To the world, Christianity is the only hindrance for the world to be one. You get rid of Christians, then we will be one, the world will say. Exactly. But we are to love them. Love your enemies, God says. See, our love, Christian love, goes far beyond what the world might understand what love is. Even as I say all these things, I'm ready to love. You got to understand Christianity. But there is this distinction. And not just distinction, but empathy. There will be a division. God will make a distinction. And this is what the salvation of God is all about. The Exodus event itself is God putting division between his people and the other. Salvation is God putting division between his people and the other. The Israel is being separated and being set apart from the rest of the nations. They are being set apart as the people of God. They are chosen and elected and set apart to be people of God. They are chosen and elected and set apart that no judgment of God fall upon them. For them, Jesus received the whole judgment of hell. And this is our story. You and I have been chosen and elected and set apart to be God's people in Jesus Christ. Like I said before, this division, this distinction was expressed in so many ways in the Old Testament. And they were all typological distinctions. All distinctions were in the earthly terms, no longer. So it was all about families, all about tribes, all about nations, all about certain groups. But those were all shadows of the true division. Thus, no longer applies today. You will see God's division even within an earthly family today. When it was typological, you cannot find division in earthly family. In the Old Testament, your family no more. Because that is not true division anymore. Matthew chapter, well, let's go together. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. It says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." And then even non-Christian goes, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, I know that." Daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Let me read it again, because that was not a good comment. "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and man's enemies will be the members of his household." Enemies will be in your family. What does God saying here? He's saying those divisions of the Old Testament is no more. The earthly division is no more. And you and I, we need to understand this. The earthly family is not the ultimate. And that's all so many Christians, that's all their focus. As if earthly family is their ultimate goal. I'm sorry, but that is not what the Bible says. Yeah, this will make so many people angry. Just like when Jesus preaches, so many people got angry. Because they just cannot take it, handle it. Because it is direct attack on their core belief. This is what Jesus does. Your earthly family is temporary. Now, does that mean you ignore them, you forget them, you don't care for them? No, God even says, if you do not take care of your own family, you're worse than non-believer. So that is not what God is saying. Please, especially you men, the head of the household, it is your responsibility to take care of your family. And Jesus continues, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." So it is not saying don't love your earthly family, but you cannot love your earthly family more than Jesus Christ. Understand? Oh yes, you are to obey your father, you are to obey your mother, but when your father and mother tells you or ask you to do anything apart from God's will, you flat out say no to your father and your mother. Because it's all about loving Christ. Do you understand? Especially you young people. You really need to understand this. I tell my kids to say no to me when I do that. Please do that. We're beyond earthly, brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ, He's the only division. Yes. Now, today, only true division, and that is Jesus Christ. You are either in Him or not. The land of Goshen is set apart also. Do you remember the burning bush? Moses was told to take off his sandals, for the ground that he was standing was holy, set apart from all the other grounds. It is holy because God is there. And we see a picture of heaven here. Heaven is set apart from his world, this world. And we see this principle many times in the redemptive history of God. The Garden of Eden, the temple of God, the place where God dwells. Thus Adam and Eve were kicked out from there when they sinned. Thus the outside of the Garden of Eden is a picture of a place where God does not dwell. Do you see how God is using the earthly things to show us the true division? The land of Goshen, a picture of a place where God is with his people. Chapter 8, verse 23 says, put a division between my people and your people. And you know this division, this word division? Psalm 111, verse 9. He has sent redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Psalm 130, verse 7. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption. The word division in our passage, the same word in Hebrews in Psalm 111 and 130, they are translated as redemption. So that division is translated as a redemption in other parts. The word can be translated also as ransom. What is ransom? Paying the price of a slave so he could be freed. I will put a division between my people and your people, meaning I will put a redemption between my people and your people. I will put ransom between my people and your people. My people will have redemption, but not your people. My people will be redeemed, but not your people. That is what God is saying. The last plague, the death of the firstborn. What was the division? How was God's people set apart? The blood of the Lamb. One had to put the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost to be redeemed and escape the judgment of God. They are to set apart. They are not set apart because of their good works. And this points to the true division, the true distinction. You and I are set apart from the world by and through Jesus Christ. He is our division. He is our redemption. He is our distinction. He is our ransom. The only difference between us and the children of Satan is Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. God has put Jesus Christ between his people and the people of Satan. Now, if you go to Matthew 25, and we'll end with this, and even though I say we'll end with this, this will be a little bit... Just go to Matthew 25, I'll read it to you. Matthew 25, verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another. As the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goat on the left. And this is what will happen visibly. When that day comes, when Jesus comes back, he will separate everybody into two groups, sheep or goat. That reality is not visible today, but it is still our reality. It's still true, but it's not visible yet. But one day that will be visible. And this is the reality that Christ has accomplished. And if you go down to verse 41, Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of these, one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And the conclusion, 46, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Brothers and sisters, this is how it all ends. There will be division, and there is already division. And we're going to talk about this more next time, but you need to understand, you, even as we worship today, do you see the division? You know, you think it was on your own you came to worship, that God has nothing to do with it. Well, God had everything to do with you believing. God had everything to do with you believing that you have to come to God to worship. You got up and wanting to come here, desire to come. God has everything to do with it. And he does not bless this to everybody. There are some people who don't want to come to church. And there are some people who think that something else is more important to the church. You know, even so many Christians, they rather do something else than worshiping God. So they go somewhere other than worshiping on the Lord's Day. Because they do not receive God's blessing, God's grace. But look at what God is doing even today. On this Lord's Day, do you see God make a division? His people to worship and all the rest, whatever. This is what is happening even now. In which group do you belong? And if you know it, then your life should witness it. Otherwise, you're witnessing the other side. And that's not good. And I'm sorry, I got a little bit carried over, hitting this thing and stuff like that. It's just passionate within me. It consumes me, especially you young people. Live according to God. Understand? You are endangered species. We don't see this kind of people that often anymore. You young people especially, be crazy for Christ. Just go crazy. Never mind what you might hear. Never mind how the world will judge you. Just be crazy for him. So people will shake their heads. That's how you live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have put a division, a distinction. You have put redemption between your people and the people belong to this world. Oh, Father, we have been set apart from this world, set apart to become your people. Let us live for you and for your glory, so that through our lives, that division will be clearly witnessed for your glory. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.